You know, Keith kind of called me up this morning, which he usually does, which I don't mind, but I'm glad that God chose to save me. I used to be so lonesome, I never had a friend. Always looking out for number one. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't care where I had been. The life I led had me on the run. But one day Jesus found me and turned my life around. He showed me what I thought I'd never be. He put me in his family, and he's with me to this day. Let me tell you what salvation's done for me. I used to be a blind man, but now my vision's clear. Mercy came and drove the shame from me. There's peace of mind with Jesus. He drives out every fear. I'm stronger than I thought I used to be. I can't tell you why he loves me as bad as I had been, or why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not a scholar, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Let me tell you what salvation's done for me. My reward. Heaven waits for those who've been set free. With saints from all the ages in the presence of my Lord, let me tell you what salvation's done for me. I used to be a blind man, now my vision's clear. A mercy came and drove the shame from me. There's peace of mind with Jesus. He throws out every fear. I'm stronger than I thought I'd ever be. I can't tell you why he loves me as bad as I have been, or why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not a scholar, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But let me tell you what salvation's done for me. What salvation's done for me.
There's not a one of us this morning that deserve it. You know, if we really opened up our hearts and if every one of us could be seen on the inside, we'd all see. We're all just alike. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. But thank goodness for that salvation. You know, the last verse of that song talked about going to that home. The choir is going to sing. And I tell you, you're going to have to pray for me that I don't cry. See, I have to hold myself back because I can get a little bit old-fashioned sometimes, and I could have a little running fit, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to distract. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. I'm going to do a little poll real quick. Pastor, I'm not trying to take your job either, but I just got to do this real quick. I just wonder, how many people heard about what the president said at the... Okay. How many people heard what Daryl Waldrop said at that same breakfast? And I'm telling you what. Now, the sad thing about what I just did is that there were twice as many people that heard about what the president said. But I'm going to challenge every one of you to go home today in front of Congress, in front of the president and his wife, in front of the world. He got up and he preached the gospel. One of the lines that he said, I used to be a good man. I always thought I was a good man. But good men die and go to hell if they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm telling you, it takes guts to do that. And it's time as we as Christians have those guts to stand up for what we believe. All right, that's enough of that. But you go home and you listen and you watch. It's 26 minutes long, but it's worth every second of seeing what. See, you know, the devil wants us to get all tore up about how awful it is. And he does not want people to hear what somebody like Daryl Waldrop said. He wants us to just hear the bad stuff. There's a lot of good going on in this world, in the Christian world. All right. I want you to listen, and I want you to enjoy and worship with us as we sing, Jesus is Coming.
God's precious land. If you ask me who's going, praise God, I am.
Praise God, I am. Triumph me, the church will rise victoriously in the sky. See the Father is ready to welcome His bride. Triumphantly, the church will rise. He will come. He shall be both here. Jesus Christ, His Father, of His. Jesus Christ, His Father, of His. Jesus Christ, His Father, of His. Jesus Christ, Lord of all Lords. Jesus Christ, wonderful
man. That's good. I do enjoy coming to church. Enjoy being in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be all over it. So they're going to put them on the screen for us up here. I'm going to do a little bit different this morning. I'm not going to read before we pray, but I would ask you to rise to your feet. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer first. What I have on my heart to preach this morning is a call to repentance. And I want to preach about what repentance is and what repentance is not. We're going to give you a lot of scripture this morning along those lines. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer first. You know, one thing I believe is America as a nation needs some repentance. We need a turning back to God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for what we've already felt. Thank you for this good singing. Lord, thank you for your sweet spirit. Thank you for your mercy, for your love, for your goodness. Thank you for being here with us, Lord. Thank you for when we come in these doors, Lord, we can be in your presence. We can talk to you. We can fellowship. We can worship. And Lord, we can come together as believers to encourage and lift one another up. Now, God, I pray that you'd open up this scripture to us this morning. Give us the words exactly that you'd have us to speak. Lord, anoint my lips. Help my heart, my mind. Bring to remembrance those things that you would be pleased with. Help me as I speak to speak clearly. And Lord, I pray that you drive every demon, every false spirit, Lord, out of this place. That when the gospel goes out, that people's hearts would be receptive. That the ground would be, Lord, ready to receive the seed that's brought. We'll give you the honor, the glory. We know we can't do it in ourselves. We're nothing, Lord, just nothing without you. And we lift you up. We lift up the lovely name of Jesus. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. You know, sometimes people ask the question, well, can you see salvation? Is there evidence to support this claim? Well, you know, I believe that there is. When you look around and you look at the life of a person that was without God, and you can go through God's Word and find the examples, one right after the other, of someone who was without Christ, who met Christ. And the example is great in the Apostle Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament, gives us an understanding of what grace is as far as who he was before he met Christ and then who he was after. It was completely different. You see, evidence is seen in the life of a sinner that is saved by grace. When a sinner repents and begins to take on different characteristics, they begin to take on the characteristics of God. And it was something that was very well said this morning in Sunday school. I'll repeat it. that said that a person had saw a sign that said, we may not be able to be sinless, but we can sin less. And one thing I'll tell you about every person that's saved by the grace of God, you're going to see a change in them. I believe that with all my heart. You see, to repent is to change. And repentance is defined as simply to change one's mind. It's when you come to the point in your life and that you are deciding that you are going to go a different direction. Now, obviously, we know that we can't do this by ourselves, and I want to talk about that, but we do it with God's help. And we do it when we allow and surrender to the will of God in our life. See, repentance is an ingredient of salvation that is absolutely necessary. It was mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Now, I know that Brother Larry didn't know I was going to preach on this, but it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school that it's not talked about much anymore. It's not preached about much anymore. It's not brought up much anymore. And a lot of times what people get is something that helps them feel good. Can I tell you something this morning? When you open the Word of God and you begin to read it and you see what its requirements are, it's going to make us feel very, very uncomfortable if there's something in our life that's not pleasing to the Lord. It's not supposed to make you feel good in your current state. The Word of God, the Bible says, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierceth even to the dividing of the sunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, it gets right down on the inside, and it will not allow you to be comfortable where you're at. You see, if a person could get saved and still live the same sorry, sinful life that they lived before, how would anyone know that they've gotten anything? How would God be glorified? It would be a mockery to the church and what it stands for. But what is required is repentance. Now, when we look at the Word of God, repentance has been preached from the time of John the Baptist to present day. You look into your Bible, and you find that what the Bible teaches is without repentance, no person is going to see salvation. Now, I want to give you some verses of Scripture. This is where John the Baptist preached about repentance. This is in Matthew chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, and he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he's saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You go down to the next verse and you find some strong words here. And folks, these are not my words. These are right out of your Bible, okay? And one thing I'll tell you, if I stand up here and just read the Word of God, it's powerful. I don't need to add anything to it. Sometimes we just don't want to believe what it says. But this is what it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 7. It says, and this is speaking of John the Baptist again, it says, but when he saw the many Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, what he's saying is we need to be able to see something in you that shows that you've turned and that you've gone a different way. Now, John the Baptist preached about repentance. Do you know that Jesus also preached about repentance? In the book of Matthew, if you go down to chapter 4 and verse number 17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Jesus preached about repentance. John the Baptist preached about repentance. After Jesus had ascended, then Peter preached about repentance. If you go over to the book of Acts in chapter 2, in verse number 38, it says, and Peter said unto them, repent, and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you go on down to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. This is more of Peter preaching on repentance. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now here's the point. Repent and be converted. In other words, you turn and you go a different way. It's not the same as it used to be. Do you know when a person gets saved by the grace of God, they will never, ever be the same? You know, you can get saved by the grace of God, and you can get out of God's will, and you can go back out there, and you can sometimes be out in the world, as it was talked about this morning, but you'll never be the same. Because if the Holy Spirit ever sets up its abode in your heart and your life, and you belong to the Lord, He'll never let you be comfortable living a life of sin out in the world. It'll never be the same to you. You go over and you read farther and you find that Paul preached about repentance. It's in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. When Paul went up on Mars Hill, and there was an altar there, and it had this inscription, "To the unknown God." And they were worshiping every different type of God there was. You know, people are doing that today. They're trying to cover all the bases. They're trying to get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And he said, the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, he said, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And can I tell you, the Bible teaches that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You cannot get saved any other way. Amen. Only by coming through Jesus Christ. You know, I feel like I have to just keep saying that because in the day and time we're living in, you know, people are beginning to accept a little bit of everything. And by the way, I want to tell you that Allah and Jehovah God are not the same. Don't let anybody try to fool you. They're not the same. There's a religion going around called Chrislam, where they take Christianity and Islam and they try to blend it together. And they say, oh, we're all worshiping the same God. No, we're not. Jesus Christ is not a prophet. He's the Son of God. He went lived on this earth 33 years without sin. He's now making intercession for you and I on the right hand of the Father. And He has no equal. So if we got John the Baptist preaching repentance, Jesus preached repentance, Peter preached repentance, Paul preached repentance. Well, what is really, what is it? Well, I want to first tell you what it's not. Because sometimes people get it confused. Number one, repentance is not remorse. Now you think about that for just a minute. What is remorse? Remorse is defined as a prolonged and insistent self-reproach and mental anguish for past wrongs, and especially for whose consequences cannot be remedied. You see, sometimes people are sorry for what they've done. But they're only sorry for what they've done if they get caught. But if you have true repentance, what you're going to do is you're going to be sorry because you know that what you did grieved the heart of God. It's not going to be, I got caught and I'm going to jail. It's not going to be, I got caught and I've got to pay a fine. It's going to be, I have grieved the heart of God. And just like David cried in the 51st Psalm, he said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Because when you really get true repentance, you will be less concerned about the consequences and what the courts think and what people think than you are getting your heart right with God. Amen. Repentance is not remorse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 9 through verse number 10, this is good scripture right here. He wrote and he said, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow, true godly sorrow, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Listen to what it says after this. But the sorrow of the world, and that's what remorse is. That's all remorse is. The sorrow of the world worketh death. Because if you're only sorry when you get caught, guess what? When you get out from under the burden you're in, you're going to go right back to the same things that you were involved in before. The example is found in the scripture when you look at you had two disciples that walked with Christ. You had Judas Iscariot that walked with him who betrayed him. But you also had Peter that we just read about that preached repentance that walked with Jesus who also betrayed him. Because Jesus told Peter when he was there and he was telling the Lord the things that God said was going to happen. He said, that's not going to happen. And the Lord looked at Peter and he said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And he said, I won't do it. I'll never do it. Just like some of us say, we'll never do it. But before morning, Peter had denied the Lord. And the third time it said he had denied him even with a curse. But when he denied him the third time, he heard that rooster crow. And I believe his head turned. And his eyes caught the Lord's eyes. And the scripture says that he went out and he wept bitterly. You know, he wasn't worried about what those people thought about him anymore. He wasn't worried about being ridiculed for walking with Christ. The scripture tells us that the Lord told Peter, he said, there's going to come a time when they'll take you where you don't want to go. And this, the scripture says, he was speaking of his death. And according to history, not the word of God, but history teaches us that Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died. When his eyes met the Lord's eyes, the most concern he had in his heart is that I've betrayed my Lord. But the other example is in Judas Iscariot. You see, Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And when they took the Lord out and he saw what happened in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 through 5, it said, Judas, which hath betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Not repented before God. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And the scripture says he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. Now you read through the scripture and you say, what did the Lord say? He said, there's one that I've lost. You see, you can't just have remorse. You must have repentance before God. Now I want you to understand something. I believe remorse is a part of repentance. And one thing that I think is a problem today that we've lost is it seems like people have lost their tears. You know, I can remember times we'd come into church and you'd have an altar call and we had wooden benches and you'd go look at them after and you'd have to dry the tears off of them where people wept before God. And you know, we need to have some tears on the altar. We need to weep before God. But remorse alone is not repentance, as important as it is. Not only is repentance not remorse, but repentance is not penance. Well, what is penance? Penance is defined as an act on the part of the guilty to render payment for sin or crime committed. It's when the guilty are ordered to pay restitution. You know, a few years ago, Kendra and I, when we were just moving to Paulding County, we were right over here on Nebo Road, where the road crosses there at the store, and we were coming back, and I'd just taken my daughter over to my mother's house. She was 2 years old in a car seat. I had a little Ford Ranger pickup with a bench seat. Now, when we're all in it, and we were small back then, you still didn't have any room. But we had taken that car seat out and we had taken our daughter out and we were in that vehicle together and we come through a stop sign and a drunk driver T-boned right into the driver's door. I looked up and seen him. It wasn't nothing I could do. He hit so hard into the side of our truck that the truck turned over on its side. Mine and my wife's heads knocked together. We're fortunate it did not knock us out. And there was gas running across the windshield and we climbed out of the truck and we went through that and of course the guy come over and he was trying to say that I ran the stop sign. It was pretty obvious what happened. You know, they sent me a paper and I had to fill it out about all the things that, and you know, I said, please prosecute drunk drivers. And you know, we got something in the paper, never had to go to court, but that guy had to pay restitution. He paid $1,200. It was $100 a month for 12 months. But you know, paying penance is not repentance. All paying penance means is I realize I've done something, and most of the time when people do it, they're ordered to do it. Or they're trying to get rid of a guilty conscience. But just paying penance is not repentance. See, penance is a sacramental rite that was practiced in Rome and in Eastern cultures and Anglican churches, which consists of private confession, absolution, and penance directed by the confessor. You see, there are churches today that practice this.
to where you come in and you confess and you actually bear the burden of your sin for a period of time. Here's something I want you to understand that's great about being a Christian. When you come up here and you bow and you repent before God, God doesn't say pick it up and carry it back with you. He says leave it right here. Lay it all on me. Come unto me, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not remorse. It's not penance. And it's also not reformation. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, see, repentance has all of these elements in it. But reformation by itself is not enough. See, to reform in its context is a removal of an abuse, of a wrong, of a corruption, of errors. You see, reformation is not a bad thing, but here's the problem. Reformation won't save you. See, reformation could be giving up a bad habit, giving up a known sin. It could be turning over a new leaf. How many have you just recently heard it? The New Year's resolution. Now, y'all have had enough time that your New Year's resolutions are either taking root or, like most people, they're taking flight. You see, because reformation by itself is not enough. What it usually, man's reformation is short-lived. And sometimes, when man tries to reform himself, that's why the scripture says Judas repented himself. Here's what happens when man repents himself. This is scripture in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 43 to 45. Now I want to tell you something as Christians and people who believe the Bible. We believe in the spirit world. We believe that we are a body, soul, and a spirit. And I want you to understand something. We're going to live forever somewhere. Okay? When you die, you're not like a German shepherd and they're just going to put you in the ground. You're going to live in eternity. The question is where? And we have battles in this life that we overcome. And what people do a lot of times is they'll get just close enough to God has the ability to come in, but they don't let Him do His work. Here's an example of that in the Scripture. It says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Let me tell you an example of what that is. It's when you come into the house of God and the Word of God is preached and the power of God is present and the Holy Spirit of God begins to pull at your heart. You know what's happening? The demons that have interfered in your life, they're getting afraid. And they're getting out of the way because they can't stand in the presence of a holy God. But you have to make the decision at that point. Are you going to come and surrender to God or not? And so many times people walk back out the door and all of a sudden it's easier. And you know what you find? They just don't give it to God. And the last state is worse than the first. That's why reformation is not repentance. Penance is not repentance. Remorse is not repentance. But it's a part of what repentance actually is. Well, what is repentance? What is the meaning of repentance? Really, it's very simple. I want to tell you the meaning. Number one, repentance is a change of the mind, it is a change of the heart, and it is a change of the will. And what it does is it produces a changed life. Now, if you go over, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses in Luke chapter number 15, you find the story, the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. And this is a story of a boy who came to his father. He had two sons. And the younger came to him and he said, Father, look, divide to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The scripture says that the father divided to them his living. Just a short time later, that younger son, he left and he went out. And he spent everything that he had. Basically what he did is he spent half of everything his father had worked for all his life. And he spent it on riotous living and basically living an ungodly life. You know, the Bible teaches, yes, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But it also teaches that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Do you realize that? If you're living in sin, you're the servant of that sin. That's where this man was. And he was out and he got to the point that he had lost everything that he had. And then he went to survive. He joined himself to a farmer, a man in that land, a pig farmer. And he went out to feed and slop with the hogs. And he was so hungry that he began to look at the slop that the hogs ate. And then in the scripture says in the 16th verse, this is the change of mind. In the 16th verse, it says, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. That's the change of the mind. You know, that's when you begin to realize that it doesn't have to be this way. You begin to realize that you don't have to live that kind of a life. You begin to realize that there's something better. He said, my father's servants live better than this. Then there was a change in his heart. Look at the 18th verse. He says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You know that's all that God wants from us, Brother Billy. He just wants us to realize he's God and surrender to him. Just let him be Lord. Bow to him, he's worthy. That was a change of the heart. Then he had a change in his will. Look at the 19th verse. He says, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. You know, when you come to God on God's terms, you just get willing just to lay it down at his feet. You know, you can read the rest of the story. What happened? The father said, that's my boy. My boy's come home. He said, kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. Get the best robe and put it on him. Because that's the love that God has for us. That's the picture. And that's what repentance is. You find another story in Luke chapter number 19 where there was a rich man named Zacchaeus. And he had heard the story about Jesus. Everywhere he went, people were talking about him. As he went to gather taxes, he was seeing the evidence everywhere he went. And he went and he had to see who this was. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree. And he was looking down. And you know God knows exactly where you're at. And when Jesus walked by, he knows the heart of the people. He knows who's serious about it. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. All people ever were. But his heart was in the right place. He said, come on down. I'm going to dwell at your house today. He got over there and here's what Zacchaeus did. He got right. He said, if I've done anything wrong, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to restore it. And from that point forward, I believe Zacchaeus was changed because he had real repentance in his life. You see, repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of the heart. And it's a change of the will that produces a changed life. That's the meaning of repentance. What about the marks of repentance? You ever heard that saying, the proof's in the pudding? The proof is in the pudding. I remember one time, and I've told this story before, but it fits right here. I was out on a job site. I was just a young man. It was before I had met my wife. And I had a Bible up on the dash of my truck. And it was one of the first ones given to me, and it was laying up there. And you know how when you lay them out in the sun, the ends get rotted right here? And it was laying up there, and he come by, and he looked on the dash of my truck, and he said, so you a Christian, huh? And I said, yes, I am. You know what he said to me? He said, time will tell. Time will tell. The proof's in the pudding. See, the marks of repentance are found in the life. See, a person that's truly repentant is going to have a different lifestyle. They're going to have a different set of priorities. And sometimes you even going to have a different set of friends. Why? Because when you get saved by the grace of God, them old people you've been running with, they're not going to want to run with you anymore. And let me tell you something, young people. When you live for God, you're not going to get invited to all the parties.
Amen.
Because they're going to know that you just don't fit in. You ought to just pray. Don't feel like you're oppressed. Praise God for that.
Amen.
We have enough parties around here to keep you busy anyway, don't we? Thank God for a church that's alive and doing something. A different set of friends. A different reason to live. Do you know how many people there are right now that are struggling with that? What's the purpose of my life? Why should I be here? Why should I keep struggling? I'll tell you why. Because God has a specific plan for you. And what we need to do, what you need to do, is get in His will and find it. It'll give you a reason to live. And I got something right here. It's a different dude in a different mood. It'll change you. You look at the scripture and see, you know what when Paul went over to some of these places to preach after he got saved, they were afraid of him. They were afraid to let him come. You know why? Because the last time he come through, he was persecuting people for the cause of Christ. He was calling daddies out and telling them to deny Jesus or we'll burn your house down. But this time he comes through and he tells them, sorry I did that. I met him. I realize he is who he says he is. You see, what is the proof of repentance? It's turning from sin and turning to God. See, the scripture says in the book of James, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. It's just like this. Every time you take a step toward Him, He takes a step toward you. And the closer you step toward Him, the closer He steps to you till you find you're in full communion and fellowship with Him. Walking together. When Paul was before Agrippa, he said they should repent and turn to God and do works that are meet for repentance. That's evidence. Evidence. Next is the motivation for repentance, and I'll try to get done with this. What's the motivation? You think about this. Why should you repent? In Ezekiel chapter 18, in verse 30, it says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Jesus said to the religious crowd in Luke chapter number 13, He said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now I'll tell you why people need to repent. I'll tell you why America needs to repent. They need to repent to avoid destruction. And this is something that people don't want to hear, but people need to repent to escape the damnation of hell. You know, we read through God's Word and we want to believe certain portions of it, but I want you to understand something. Eternity separated from God. You need to repent and you need to turn so that you can avoid destruction. Number two, you need to repent so that you can experience new life in Christ. I heard a preacher preaching one time and something he said and it just stuck in my life, in my mind. He said, you're going to live with your sin and you're going to be in your sin until you get tired of it. Think about that. You know, and as long as you know you can make peace with your sin and you can say, well, that's just the way that I am or everybody's doing it or, you know, even enjoy it, you're going to stay in it. But when you get tired of it, you'll be ready to lay it down. You see, I like being here because people like to go to meetings, you know. I like to set Brother Tommy because he gets me charged up. I like to look up here at the choir when they're singing. I like to be around God's people. You know why? Because I'm a Christian. And I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. And like it was mentioned in Sunday school, if you know Him, you want everybody to know Him because you know He's the best thing out there. You need to repent so you can know what life is about in Christ. And you need to repent so you can spend eternity in heaven. See, the Bible talks about, and Lord willing, I may preach on this at some time, but it talks about the 12 gates of that city. That city coming down, and you know, you begin to read over there in them last two chapters of Revelation, and it tells you what's going to be inside the gate and what's going to be outside the gate. And the more I read that and study it, I want to be inside the gate. You know why I want to be inside the gate, Brother Tommy? Because there ain't going to be no wheelchairs. There ain't going to be no crutches. There ain't going to be no glasses. I was sitting there yesterday working on a computer, and I got so aggravated I had to take that iPad and put it right there and take my glasses off. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have these troubles anymore. You know why you need to repent? When I was reading that, it said there's going to be people outside the gate that want to get in. They're going to be offering everything they can offer. They're going to be saying, oh, please let me in the gate. But it's going to be too late. The reason you need to repent is so you can spend eternity in heaven. Now, here's the confirmation of repentance, and I'll be done. I'll ask Brother Keith to get us on. Here's the confirmation. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you receive a free gift. The Bible says that, you know, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. And it teaches us that we are quickened by the Spirit. What does that mean? That means made alive. When old Nicodemus come to the Lord, he said, what must I do? He said, you must be born again. When you come to the point that you surrender to God, here's the gift, the Holy Spirit. And it comes in and it sets up as a bolt in your life, and you're made alive spiritually, and you're never, ever the same anymore because you're born. Now here's something to understand. I believe when you get it and you really get saved, you're saved. I don't believe you can get it today and be lost tomorrow. I don't believe you can get it 100 times. You get it one time. It's just like my boys. I don't care what they do. They're my boys. And I can't deny them. And you know, I don't want to deny them. But they were born mine. When you get saved by the grace of God, you're born, made alive by the Holy Spirit. And that's evidence that you've been saved by the grace of God. That's evidence of repentance. The scripture says in Psalms 34 and 18, says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now here's something I believe. I believe God's still in the saving business. I believe God's still in the revival business. And I believe God can still move and change people's lives. The question is, are you willing to change for Him? You know why people sit back, and I believe there's somebody just like the scripture we read this morning. It's empty, it's swept, and it's garnished. But the key word is empty. Right now is decision time. Are you going to come to the Lord, or are you going to go back out? As we sang this song this morning, I want you to know God loves you, God cares for you. I can't even explain to you how much. The only thing I can try to get you to understand is God loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now you think about that for just a minute. Could you give your child for a sinner? Just think about that. I believe He gives us His picture so we'll understand. Could you? I don't think I could. God loves you more than I can explain. As we stand to our feet this morning, if God has spoke to your heart, my heart's desire and my prayer, just like Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that you might be saved. America needs repentance. And what it is I'm going this way, and God speaks to me, but I'm going to turn and go this way. And you're walking toward the Lord. If God spoke to you this morning as they sing a song, this is your opportunity to pray. And I want you to know God will meet you. I'd like to do this again. If Kendra and Tabitha, if you would come on the side. Brother Tom and Brother Bruce, if you'd step right out here. These people, if you want to talk, if you say, well, I'm just not sure what to do. These people would like to pray with you. These people would like to speak to you and try to help you in any way that we can. That's the mission, I believe, of this church. As they sang, if God spoke to you, this is your opportunity this morning. Thank you.
was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am free.
Amen.
The cross he carried bore my burdens. The love that held him said, his life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son. Of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy.
In the house of the Lord, and I just want to remind you of something. The devil's a liar, and everything that he has, everything, is a counterfeit for something better that God wants you to have. He doesn't want you to understand that. He doesn't want you to take steps to see that change. Because once you realize what new life in Christ is about, he's lost you forever. Now, he might worry you to death. He might bother you. He might pick on you. But he don't have any hold over you anymore.
Amen.
You don't belong to him. You got a home eternal in the heavens with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing one more song, and this time we're going to open the doors of the church. If you want to join this church, you've been saved, you've been baptized, you can come join my statement. Or we're praying for another day like this, but we'll have a baptism. You can join by baptism. But you know, God's doing great things here. We're excited about it. I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do next.
So if you want to come be a part of this church as they sing this song, this is your opportunity, amen. Day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're going to have service tonight at 6, choir practice, 4:30. Yes. Quick meeting right over here in this room. If you want to be involved, we're going to have a wild game dinner. We're going to eat all kind of stuff that you ladies won't cook. My wife says, you ain't putting that in my pot. So that's why we're having our own little dinner here. I enjoy being in the house of the Lord. But I know y'all hungry. That's why I'm going to let Brother Tommy dismiss us in prayer. Hey.